Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. This Week in America. Great to have you with us on the program today. It's a book about a war, a boat, and the people who crew it, The Spirit of Crystal River by Michael Petlet. April 19th, 1861, President Lincoln proclaimed a blockade of southern states that seceded from the Union. That set the stage for men to use stealth to get their wares to Cuba and supplies to the Sons of the South. Michael was born in Sarasota, served in the Army, retired from the Clearwater Fire Department. Over his career, he was the first Citrus County Fire Administrator, as well as Park Ranger at Crystal River Archaeological State Park. He loves to hunt, explore the swamps, and to fish. Michael Petlet, author of The Spirit of Crystal River, our guest on This Week in America. Michael, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us.
Well, thank you very much.
This is a fascinating read, historical fiction. I love the book and the characters that you've created here. Let's talk first about the inspiration. Where did this idea come from when you decided this really is a story I would like to tell?
All right, two things happened. One, I did a lot of boat tours on the Crystal River and found out the people that live in the area know nothing about their history. The second thing was the boat builders, Crystal River boat builders, were building a scow. And they asked me if I wouldn't mind writing a short story about it, which ended up being longer and longer and involved the river and the whole history during the Civil War. So it was fun. It was really a lot of research, and it let us see the Civil War from a different point.
It really does, and it's interesting because in reading some of the reviews, people in that area, they found out things about the river and the history of that area they didn't even know about. I guess Civil War, we get a lot of facts and figures, and it's not really personalized. You take that experience and you personalize it. You give us a different perspective of the Civil War, in particular in that part of the country. Let's go back to the premise for the book. It's April of 1861, and President Lincoln then proclaimed this blockade that really impacted that area, and people really had to be ingenious to get around that down there, didn't they?
They did. That's why the old Indian word of it wasn't stealth, it was being invisible, the art of invisibility. And that's basically what they had to do. And by using these shallow draft boats, they were practically invisible to the big ships that were sitting out off the coast. The Beauregard and the Port Henry would sit out about 12 miles because they couldn't get into the shallow waters. So by concealing the sails and stuff, by actually dirting them up, the normal coastal fog would just about make them invisible.
The book is The Spirit of Crystal River. Michael Petlet is the author and our guest in the program. That's P-E-T-E-L-L-A-T. His website is michaelpspirit.com. You can link on to that directly by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Let's talk about the situation there. And we talked about this briefly, but Crystal River, Florida, when the blockade takes place, these people still have to live, don't they? They've got businessmen down there who need to continue commerce. They really had to figure out a way that they could participate in the war and at the same time try to feed the people back home.
Well, that's very true. And the thing is that they needed things like they always did, furniture and other supplies, and they needed to get basically their wares out, which were cotton, sugar, the corn. All those things needed to be shipped out so that they could live and have a little bit of money. Nobody could possibly starve in this area. There's so much fish and other food supply. That wasn't the problem. The problem was getting things so that they could buy other materials.
Several of the main characters in the book, the main character I mentioned in the introduction, Captain Jim Blackworth, talk about him. Was there an actual Captain Blackworth, or was this based on someone who was a figure of history there?
It was based on somebody. The actual captain that Mr. Hewley had was named Samuel Swan. And in 1863, his boat burnt to the waterline. So I couldn't get all the way through the Civil War with
yes.
Mr. Swan. So I created James Blackworth to be a substitute for him.
Now, why was he chosen? I understand, and it talks in the book about he knows his way around the Florida coast, which can be dangerous. Talk about why he was chosen for this particular mission.
Well, he was chosen because he had a sloop before, and he had been used to sailing the waters around this area. So he was a known figure as far as being able to traverse the area and probably stay in the shallower waters. There was ways that they could get from Homosassa to Crystal River without even going out into the Gulf. So he knew all these, and he'd lived in the area before. Quite a man. It's really a unique thing to ride on a boat like that. It's very seaworthy. It's very stable. The boat is just perfect for this type of maneuvering.
I would assume, and it's interesting to hear you talk about that, as an author that's working on historical fiction, this is not some area you've just read about in the books. This is where you live. You know the area. You know the type of boats that we're talking about. How beneficial was that as you're putting the story together? I can almost see you visualizing yourself back in that era, with Captain Blackburn and carrying out this all by yourself.
It is. It's very interesting. One of the things I didn't write about myself was I used to help a commercial fisherman in Sarasota. So I had the opportunity to be out on the waters quite a bit and see the different types of problems that would occur. So it was very easy to take Captain Blackworth's side and looking at different things. And I always loved fishing in this area. So I knew the waters quite well, had the ability to talk to other people in the area about the different passes and different ways through here. At our coast, we have about 1 foot of water per mile going out into the Gulf. So this is why the big ships couldn't come in, and these shallow draft boats, it would only take about 25 to 30 inches of water, were quite wonderful in getting materials around.
As he's putting the crew together, Captain Blackworth, he's read as a young man, a major character. Talk about him, and again, was he based on someone or just someone that you came up with to fit into the circumstances?
Most of the people in the book are based on people that I do know and have seen them and know how they react to things. The real reason for having read in the book is so that I could familiarize people with how that boat works, the importance of it being a shallow draft boat, and so that people could see basically what they were intended to do on that type of boat and what they expected and what a knot was and how the different things work. So Red was a wonderful tool to use so I could explain it to the people that were reading the book.
And the next step when everything is put together is the crew setting out on dangerous adventures, to say the least, on the high sea. The Civil War is raging on back home. Don't want to give away a whole lot with the book. It's a fascinating read, but they're really in peril, and there is some concern about whether or not they're actually going to be successful or whether they will sink and go down with the ship.
That's right. You really anticipate everything you can. And one of the things that the captain did was he made sure that his crew would not talk about the boat. It is amazing how many people were out listening to gather information for the North. And the more they knew, they could track down the boats and be able to capture these people. So he was quite quite well aware of what they were looking for and knew that if they all kept quiet, they'd live a lot longer.
You could have probably written this story in a text, you know, history textbook type of format and told the story. You chose to do historical fiction, and I love that because it's a compelling story and we're learning as we're reading that story. Talk about the benefits as you see it of historical fiction, because you really make history come alive. I wish I would have had your book when I was studying history back a number of decades ago. It would have been more interesting than what we were reading in the textbooks. Why was this the tool for you, that you wanted to do this in the historical fiction format?
It just made a lot of sense, because what I wanted to do was have people excited about history.
Yes.
And I want them to be excited about where they live. It is amazing, as long as you know the community and everything and the history of that community, you're better healed to live in that society and know what works and doesn't work for the people. So by using historical fiction, I could make people more aware of where they live. But it's not just the people of Crystal River, it's also the people of anywhere. If they know their history, they're a lot better off. So if we can make it exciting and bring a good storyline along with the history, it should make people want to go down to the museum and look a little bit more.
The book is The Spirit of Crystal River. Michael Petlett is our guest on the program. That's P-E-T-E-L-L-A-T. You'll find the book, of course, wherever books are sold. Specifically, you can go to his website, which is michaelpspirit.com. If you go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, you can link on directly to Michael's website, get some great information there, and be able to order the book as well. You've been out in the public with this book. Talk about the reaction you're getting. I'm reading reviews, local people, again, reading it. People that have lived there virtually all their lives that didn't fully understand the significance of what happened during this era there, during the Civil War. What kind of feedback are you getting, and how rewarding is this for you when local people come up with smiles on their faces? It's like, this is a great story, and now I feel like I really know more about the people and the place where I call home.
Well, it is amazing. They've accepted it very well. And sometimes I say, I just wish I could reach more people with it. One of the fascinating sidelights to this is that we actually had a Medal of Honor winner on Crystal River. His name was Sergeant Christopher Nugent, and he was a Marine. And he had come down to the rocks and was able to take a crew of four and route 11 people off of the area and get the ammunition and supplies that they had, which is quite a feat. And there was a woman there, so they decided, those four men, to attack without using shooting because of the woman that was present. So once you know all this other stuff and you look and you go, how in the world did somebody get a Medal of Honor on Crystal River? It's a real neat story.
The book it's a very entertaining book. It's a quick and exciting read. You've got a replica there of the Spirit, which gives you a little better context to exactly what it is you're talking about in the book. We've got a few minutes left in the program. What's interesting as well is this gives you, I mentioned this before, but I keep coming back to this, a different perspective on the Civil War. It impacted people more than just on the battlefield, didn't it? There were a lot of places like Crystal River impacted by the Civil War, and it had nothing to do with people shooting at each other.
That's correct. That's the fascinating thing about it. One of our main pieces of history that we have here is David Yulee. And Yulee was a tremendous man. By the age of 26, he was a lawyer. He went to he was part of the first senator for the state of Florida in 1845. And then he was not reelected, but he was reelected just before the Civil War and was able to be the one that said that Florida was seceding from the Union. We were the third state that actually did that. But this man was so great, he really did not want to secede, but did. And because he made the sugar mill down in Homosassa, he had a whole bunch of sugar that he needed to process. He built the first railroad, which was the Florida Railroad, that went from Fernandina over to Cedar Key. So he had a great deal to do with the history of the state of Florida. And it was interesting. He did not want the ships going out of Bayport because he paid taxes to the Confederacy. If he had the shipments going out of Crystal River or Homosassa, those weren't taxed by the Confederacy. So that's an interesting take on it. He was looking after himself, yes, but at the same time, he looked after other people.
The book is The Spirit of Crystal River. The author, our guest in the program, Michael Pentland. A couple minutes left. I mentioned Park Ranger at Crystal River Archaeological State Park. I would assume that's one of the better jobs in the world. You're a history buff. You're out there. You get to interact with people. You get to explain to people what is happening virtually in many of their backyards. How much fun was that for you?
It still is.
Still is.
I volunteer there. So after I retired from there, because at the time the state wasn't giving out any raises or anything, and I was making more money to retire, I decided I would go ahead and volunteer there for 2 days of the week. And that way they could use the money for other things. And it's wonderful to talk to the people about our Native American history and just all the points there at the Crystal River is just fantastic. It's a great opportunity. And I had planned in my childhood to do several things, and one of them was to work at a museum at some point in time. So I had my opportunity to work at the museum. I also had an opportunity to write, which is one of the last things that I wanted to do in my plan for my life. So it's been a wonderful life.
Well, you are a very talented writer. Are you working on anything else? Are there any more stories you want to tell?
Yes, I've written another book. I haven't gotten it edited yet. And it's about an FBI agent that is a Native American. And it's really a very interesting and fun book. But the next book that I want to write is about the Crystal River Archaeological State Park. And that'll be a lot of fun, too.
And a lot of fun to read. I'm anxious to, I hope both of those books happen and we have the opportunity to talk about them. The book we are talking about, The Spirit of Crystal River, the author is Michael Pentlett. That's Pettellat. His website is michaelpspirit.com. The book's available at Amazon, wherever books are sold, directly from his website and information on his website as well. If you can't remember all of that, just go to thisweekinamerica.us and you'll find the link to go directly to Michael's website. That's michaelpspirit.com. Michael, congratulations on the success of the book. Excellent reviews. Look forward to having the opportunity to talk about new books from you. Thank you for being with us on the program.
Well, thank you very much. I really appreciate this.
It's been fun having you with us. And the book, once again, The Spirit of Crystal River, Mike Pentlett, our guest on the program. His website is michaelpspirit.com. You're listening to This Week in America, and we're back after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.